version of the Lord's Prayer is actually a version by Bobby McFerrin, and I think our team did an extraordinary job of that. But also, hi, I encourage you to go onto YouTube today and check out this particular song as Bobby McFerrin offers it. Gracious God, may you startle us with the presence of your love as close to us as our own breath. May you startle us with the light that is there in our dark valleys. Amen. You know, Psalm 23 is probably the most familiar scripture there is. I'm guessing most everyone here, if not everyone here, can think of at least one line from Psalm 23. This particular scripture has given strength and comfort to so many for so long. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me down the paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy are with me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of God forever and ever and ever. There's something about that psalm that resonates really, really deeply. And I suspect one of the reasons why that psalm resonates is we all know what it's like to walk through a dark valley. And I think we all want to be reminded that we're not alone. Life's hard. Life is damn hard. You know, if you're feeling right now that life is hard, it's not that you're doing it wrong. It is. It's hard. One of the challenges, I think, somehow is to make our way through those valleys. Did you notice in the psalm? Did you notice in the psalm that there was a point where the psalm begins and God is in the third person? Those of you who are English majors, like myself, God is in the third person and God is kind of impersonal and removed and distant. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But then when the you-know-what hits the fan, you know, when we find ourselves in that dark, dark place, when the shadows are looming, when death is close, the pronoun changed. Did you notice that? It was no longer that third person, that impersonal. It now became, thou art with me. God no longer was the third person. God now became this sacred presence, thou. So God was no longer this abstract theological concept. The psalmist is no longer talking about God. It shifted in the dark valley, and now the psalmist is talking to God. That God is now this sacred presence, deep, deep within. You know, the people of Israel knew They knew about dark valleys. The people of Israel knew about the presence of enemies. Every day their security was threatened by the enemies that surrounded them. The people of Israel were exiled from their homeland, and they lived as refugees. And you know what they did to cope? They gathered together and sang the Psalms. You know, the book of Psalms is not simply meant to be this individual devotion for ourselves. The book of Psalms is meant to be for a gathered community to sing them together, that we might remind each other, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what adversity we face, our faith cannot be shaken, because thou art with us. God will never forsake us. There is a love from which we can never be separated. William Sloan Coffin, famous preacher, his son tragically died in a car accident. And friends tried to comfort him with that theological jargon. You know, there must be a reason, there must be a plan. That I know it's unknown to us, but I'm sure there's a plan. And William Sloan Coffin said, God did not cause my son to go off that bridge on that stormy, icy road because there is some divine plan. God shed the first tear. God's heart was the first heart to break. God was with my son in the icy water as he breathed his last. And God's love is with and holds my son even now. And he said, God doesn't provide me answers to the 1,001 questions I still have to this day. God provides me presence in the face of the fact I don't have answers. And it's that presence that will see us through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid, for thou art with me. Life unraveled for us in a big way last March. As my wife Lori became critically ill and spent more than 30 days in the ICU, kind of on that, teetering on that edge of life and death, and never quite sure on any given day which way she was going to go. Over the next couple weeks, I want to share some of the wisdom I was graced with as I sat vigil in that room for that length of time. Some of the wisdom, not that I'm so smart that I have this wisdom, some of the wisdom I stumbled upon, some of the wisdom that was offered to me. I want to share a little bit how, as life unraveled for us, how God somehow was in the midst of that and present as a new story is being told. You know, many of you know that ICU rooms are scary. There's all these big machines and noises and alarms and beeps, and there's all these numbers on a screen that for the life of me I can't figure out what the number is, but God, I want to know, it changed, and why did it change, and what does it mean that it changed? So every day was like that, just feeling kind of utterly, utterly helpless. Lori received such incredible care at the at OHSU. The nurses especially were my spiritual teachers. They didn't know this. But every day, without fail, one nurse would say something that would point me to God. They would say something that would awaken me that God was there, present. And that's the deal that we so often forget. We think the goal of our spiritual life is somehow to convince God to be present. We think the goal of our spiritual life is I somehow need to clean my act up so that God might dare to come into my life. The goal of the spiritual life is to awaken to the startling truth that God is already there, that God is present, as close to us as our own breath. So on one particular day, it was a precarious kind of day, and for some reason I was a little more on edge than normal, and those machines were driving me crazy. Whenever it would change or beep or go off or a number would change, my muscles would tighten and I would hold my breath. A nurse must have known this because she said to me, "Isn't it amazing that God graced somebody with the wisdom to create these machines? They save lives. These machines," literally she said, "these machines are life givers." That was appropriate. So there I was, overwhelmed with the shadow of death. And she shifted. And I became aware of the presence of life. As I was sharing with the kids, the source of all that is breathed life into us. Ruha. Those machines were breathing life into the one I love. So all of a sudden, these machines, at least for that day, became my spiritual teacher. Whenever an alarm would go off or something would beep or a number would change, it was an invitation for me to breathe. I'd take 3 deep breaths. I would remember that God is as close to me as my own breath. Think in your own life where you are unraveling. Think of the stresses in your own life, those things that really weigh heavy, those things that annoy you, those things that distract you, those things that really stress you out. What if they were invitations to breathe? Invitations to remember, thou art with me. You are in sacred presence. Because when we awaken to the truth of sacred presence, it changes the way we are present in the stress. So where is God in the unraveling? God's in the mess. God's right there, as Rumi said, now. Not when it's all better, now is where love breathes. We cannot attain God's presence because God is already present. What's missing is not God, but our awareness. Have you ever noticed that ICU rooms, ICUs in general, like the world itself, can be violent places? I mean, tubes rammed down your throat and things injected, and it's almost like every day your body and spirit can feel like they're being assaulted. You can actually feel like there you are in the presence of your enemies. It was 4 a.m. And the doctor said to me, unless we reintubate, she's going to die this morning. And this will be the third time we will reintubate her. So you need to decide whether you want to go through with that. What? He spoke those words matter-of-factly as if he was reading from a Sears catalog. I gave my permission. And Lori's blood pressure at this particular stage was dangerously low to begin with. And during this procedure, her blood pressure totally crashed, totally bottomed out. So they had to perform a life-saving procedure. And afterwards, I'm sitting on the bench outside of her room. And it was like my brittle heart already was hurled against the wall and shattered and scattered in 1,000 pieces across the floor. I felt so alone and so scared. And a nurse whose name I don't know was not a nurse who had cared for her. But he came and he sat on the bench next to me. And he placed in my hand a cold cup of water. And he put his arm around me. No words were exchanged. That cold cup of water in his arm were like a table of grace set in the presence of my enemies. The stranger's kindness, who I never saw again, I felt held in love. When I think of that stranger's kindness, when I think of that cold cup of water, I think what the world needs now more than ever are people with tender, gentle, and open hearts. When we are seeing inhumanity at its worst every single day, what is needed is the very best of our humanity. Parker Palmer said, when we feel certain that the human soul is no longer at work in the world, it's time to make sure ours is visible to someone, somewhere. Because the funny thing is, when our hearts are open, we just might be the one God uses to let somebody who is in that dark valley know that they're not alone, that love is with them. As was mentioned, this past week was National Suicide Prevention Week, which should be every day. If you ever know, it's not our strength that unites us. We think it is. That's why we come to church trying to be all together and show everybody our best face. But it's not our strength that unites us. It's our vulnerability. The one thing we share most in common are tears. What we share most in common is every single person here knows what a dark valley feels like. Every person here knows what it feels like to be in the presence of your enemies. You know, there are scars that aren't shown. There are wounds that haven't been healed. There are tears that can't be seen. There are silent screams that can't be heard. If you yourself find yourself right now in a dark valley, you're not alone. Talk to someone. You matter. Your life matters. For the rest of us, let's reach out. Let's be that presence in the dark valley. Let's let people know it's okay not to be okay. Let's be the soft place for people to land. Let's listen with the same kind of intensity that we want to be heard. Let's love. You know, there are so many people hanging, just hanging by the finest thread, because life has unraveled so much, they're hanging by the finest thread. Maybe we're the ones that God is seeking to use to be that thread. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy are with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God. I dwell in the heart of God now and forever and ever and ever. Amen. We continue to worship God as the morning offering is received.